that's something that some kind of something testing you on your faith and your conviction, and in order to precious that you cannot define, but also you look back and you see nothing up there for you to hang upon, but for the kind of world that you're coming from. In this case, I just joined. There wasn't a time of the global team, it was in Japan. The time that I clearly before that. And we used to live in Huntington Drive. Huntington Drive was the only center. And we used to have a Wilson team in downtown and ride in wheelchair and run. And really nice center. So our routine every day, you know, like we used to go sleep in Huntington Drive, we used to come back like 9 o'clock in the evening, 10 o'clock, and then we have our dinner. And menu was like, it was about 300 or 400 of us. Dinner. And then next day, 6:30, get up and, you know, follow the rhythm, you know, morning service and all of that. But actually, we all just get up and change your clothes or whatever, and then jump in the van and go to downtown. And our family service started right in the Winnipeg, you know, Winnipeg Center. And one time, I had a really strong headache. Real bad headache, like, really, you know, like, something. And I didn't get up. I didn't get up from bed. And it was Mr. Reverend Warner's son. His name is Kevin, something like that. Kevin, I think. Reverend Warner, he works with the global team in Japan. And
you mean Paul Warner?
Yeah, Paul Warner. Okay. Reverend Warner, yeah, Paul Warner. And so that time I didn't get off from the sun, you know, to get ready to go to the sundown. And Klaus is the name of Paul Werner's son. He had his son before joined the church. But he somehow was with us, you know. And he was a very juicy guy. Very, very juicy guy. And I didn't get up. He came with a cup like this with the cold water. First he came and kind of kicked me. Get up. And I go, no, I cannot get up because my head was floating. The second time he came and with a glass of water and from the cup I did.
See, I'm acting like that. I grew up in here, tied up.
They put pouring water in my face. And it was just only that last thing was almost about 15, 20 days I was already in the church. That's pretty much the meeting where I came. So I got this very, very strong angriness in me that I get up and I push him through the wall. Very strong.
Mm-hmm.
And he was wearing some kind of thick glasses because he was a little bit kind of problematic with his eyes. So I pushed him to the wall. And I was about to hit him, but for some reason I didn't do that. So he didn't. He was so shocked that he never thought I was going to react like that to him. So I just told him that, and I came back, put my system back, and lay down again. So around 12 o'clock, I went to downtown by myself. So I took the bus and I ran, and that time I was very confused. So, but 10 days later, Reverend Paul Werner and his wife came from Japan. And that morning we were having morning service. And it was like almost 300 of us.
Mm-hmm.
And Reverend Heine, another chairman leader, he was given the Sunday, you know, the morning service. So Paul Werner and his wife walk in the middle of everybody right in the front and greet everybody. And he said, "Who's the Sister Rosa?" He asked.
What?
Who is?
Sister Rosa.
Oh.
And I raised my hand. He stand up. It was a very military voice.
Do you
fought with my son?
I did.
And that time I cannot speak much English, so I don't know what to say. And he said, we don't want people like this, like you. He said that. He said, you have to go. So I become very emotional. And everybody kind of stared at me. And I was just making him laugh. He goes, go. It's a very tender voice. Go. And I start crying. And brother, it was one brother there, Steve, from the Northern California, put his hand on me. And I pushed his hand away. And I start crying. And I feel for the first time it was some kind of very sentimental, confusing. And without no clear idea what I was, but it was something that I just cannot live it. And something that I cannot explain. So when I decided to walk away because he was very strong boy.
Get out!
And when I walked out of the ballroom, I went to the prayer room. And I went to the prayer room and I shut the door behind. I never really cried in my life as much as I did. Really crying. Like, laugh. My nose, my eyes and everything. And then Heiner, he came in. Jose, open the door.
I'm gonna talk.
Please open the door. And I opened the door. He says, you know, Paul Werner says if you want to continue here, he has to fast 3 days. I never fast in my life.
Mm-hmm.
He has to fast 3 days and also he has to go to apologize to Klaus and Klaus is in Harrington Drive. And I said to him, so what have I done wrong? I don't know. But please, either you do it or you don't. But he has to really decide because otherwise Rowan Paul Werner, he doesn't want you here because such a burden. Okay. So they took me back to Harrington Drive and when I walked inside of Harrington Drive, so Klaus walking from the kitchen to some of the, when he saw me, he knew it. So he came to me, but he was burning. And he embraced me. And I embraced him. And we both cried. And I felt something that I never, ever, ever felt in my life. No hate, no madness. It's just like a very, very deep, deep sentimental upholding. And it was so very, very beautiful. I feel like the sunshine came. And after that, I said, okay. I have to report this to Paul Werner. So let's go back into downtown. Paul Werner came to, okay? So, please, this is a training ground, a spiritual training ground. So never, ever do things like that. And I question myself, what did I do? But even though still I hear voices inside of me like, let's go. It's a path you have to go through. Something like that. So after that, Rowan Warner says, tell me you have to fast 3 days. And to me, you're fasting 3 days and that every time, it's like, I never done this kind of fasting. In the Catholic should be used to fast, only half a day.
Mm-hmm.
And after that half a day, you're starving to death, 3 days. So I was witnessing in downtown LA, and my brother came, and because I disappeared, it was already about almost 2 months. It was kind of confusing time, but I don't know, it was about 2 months, something like that. And he saw me, And by then I was already kind of like a very nice haircut and kind of simple clothes and a tie and all of that, because there was a lot of tie all the time, you know. And my brother was like, what happened to you? Where's your long hair? You know, where's your Levi's pants and all that? It was kind of hippie type, you know. And I said, you know, I can't explain to you, but I found somebody who really helped me in my life, you know. He goes, like, you ate already? I can't explain that I was fasting the 3 days. So he says, yeah, my lunch time, but he takes his hand in his pocket and pulls his wallet into $20. So he says, okay, please come home. And he left, he says, I'm in my lunch time, please come home. So he left, and I went back on Broadway. I was watching him packing $20 in my pocket. And it was a beautiful Texas beach place right in the window inside of the restaurant. And when I saw this, something really pulled inside of me, and I walked inside and I go to the waitress and said, can I? You know, it goes, can I have this dish? Yeah, that's it. So they brought me the dish. And what I eat, I'm thinking of just, oh, my heart, my brain, my heart. And I was so emotional, I just eat like very little, and I walked back to the center. And I was like I did the biggest mistake of my life. I was emotional. I was very unstable. I was very, very, very hyper feelings, you know. When I walk inside in the center, I saw Haina. Haina is the worst of a leader. They will say, what happened? What happened? Haina, I really have to call you one thing. Yeah, what have you done? I break my heart. I forgot that I was fasting. You see, look at me and says, ah, Jose, why did you do that? And he looked at me, come on. And I told him, you know, I just eat very, but I eat very little. He's just kind of laughing. He said, ah, Jose, come on. He took me outside. He went to, it was a burrito stand right in the hill in Grand. He goes, are you still hungry? So he bought a burrito for him, he bought a burrito for me. And I said, you know, but I didn't know your father. He goes, don't worry, that's okay. But I take responsibility. So he was like my spiritual father. But after that, it changed the whole thing, changed. Like I become like something in the air. And my life is really moving like another stage. Like, I have no idea what I was getting in this time. And then comes to the time where we were sitting there, and then Reverend Warner came once again. He goes, okay, so we have a big, big, very serious mission. All of you, those who are really serious community, tomorrow we are going to New York City. New York City. I didn't even know what New York City was. So, yeah, it was in 3 days. They set up everything, and a huge, huge amount of us went to the airport. I never, ever fly in an airplane. So, we were there, like, singing songs, and so happy, and so I remember the airline, I was the Pan American airplane. We all went there, you know, and I was in the plane, and we're singing in the plane, and we were amazing. So we arrived in New York City. It was about 3 or 4 buses waiting there. So we all jumped in the buses, and then went to 43rd. And the 43rd person that Neil Salani was the president at that time. He was very welcome. Sam Pell, Mike Smith. It was our leaders. So as soon as we came to 43rd, 43rd was still like in a remodeling, construction. It was very dirty and all that. So right away we started making things, and there was no rest and nothing like that. the afternoon there was a very good witness in the street, you know. So I found myself witnessing in the street about God. And then I felt like, this is my life, this is my belief, this is my everything, you know. New York City, here we are, you know. Mm-hmm. And I was already witnessing the farmers and all that, like this is my home, this is my... So with that kind of perspective and that kind of level, I was already very, very active in every single thing. Before the Yankee Stadium, we did the New York Festival. And there was a lot of persecution, there was a lot of things, but I remember the tears and the sweat and the honest and the carry on of the seriousness. Every brother and sister, especially all brothers, they came from Berrytown. And for us, Berrytown, it was a very high-level people, you know, like brothers and sisters, very theological, you know, understanding. I see them right in Times Square. Times Square was really corrupted area. It was really pornography. Like, so many ex-actors, you know, movies and all that. And so whenever all the seminaries came, we joined them. And we were singing and stepping in the chair like this and preaching and all that. And I was so proud of it, you know. Even Father's son, I was mentioning, you know, the one who died in the accident. He was right in the Times Square all the time, like, preaching and all that. So for me, it was like, not only myself, but it was such an incredible commotion in the deepest part of my you know, life in the church, that every time we used to have this kind of a celebration from Devil's Hill, in the New York Hotel, Endless new faces. Mm-hmm. Never finished. But it was just like a kingdom of heaven. Kingdom of heaven. So those experiences are very hard to express in today's world we live, but I hope someday that, you know, this can really carry on and put those stories to those who now, they do have the same capability as us, you know, and probably they will perform at a much higher level than us, but that is where we're coming from, and that is our foundation. That's the appreciation in life and experience that we all combine with, and that's what it makes more different for us to be who are we and what we represent. So,
something to
say. Yes. Thank you. Yeah.